So what do we have for today? The Mishnah that we've been studying has, of course, a list of the 39 malachs. And the Gemara wants to know why exactly the Mishnah, the Tana, had to bother telling us that there are 39, we can count them up. So the Gemara says, Minyana Lamali. Why do we need this minyan? Omar Rabbi Yochanan, She'imason Kula Behelim Echor Chayvakol Achas V'Achas. So what's the maximum number of Chiyuvei Chatos that you can incur for one Shabbos if you do as many violations as you possibly can? 39. So that's the magic number, 39. So we have 39 Malachas and 39 Chiyuvei Chatos. Obviously, a chiyuv chatos is the flip side of what? In other words, chatos is b'shogeg. What would be b'meizid? Chiyuv skila. So now, if you take a look in the Rambam actually codifies this at the beginning of Perek Zayin, the Hilchos Shabbos, and he tells us that molachos shechayov aleihem skila. In a case of meizid or karban chatos b'shogeg, he says minyan kol ha'avos arba'im chaser achas. So the Rambam again has the minyan of 39 malachas with regard to the chiyuv chatos b'shogeg and the chiyuv skila b'meizid. He repeats himself in a slightly different formulation later on in the same perek. And that's halacha Zion, and he writes Echad Osa Av Malacha Otolda, etc., etc. B'mezid Chayv Chatos V'Bo Edim Niskal. So he, when he says Av Mi Avos Malachos, that's going back to what he said at the beginning of the parak. How many Avos Malachos are there? And the Rambam told you already that the minion of Avos Malachos are Boim Chaser Achas. So the clear conclusion from this, and it may not sound sensational to you, but it is, it's very important, is that all 39 malachas are on the same level, which means that they each one are machayev skila. And that's clear in the Rambam. And the reason why I emphasize to you is that in the Tanoim, that's not clear at all. No, Havara, I think, as far as I know, is definitely machayev achiyuv skila. But there is one malacha that doesn't generate a chiyuv skila. It's not havara, but what is it? So for that we want to look at a gemara on daf vav amud beis. So hopefully you have the Mara Makomas page, and I added another page now. It should be floating around page 2, which should say on it. Okay then? So what goes on daf vav amud beis? The gemara is a sugya that's based on Megillas Starim. Megillas Starim, Rashi explains that when they heard Torah back in the day, they weren't allowed to commit that Torah to writing because Torah Shebal Peh has to be given Baal Peh, Iya Torah Shai Lomer Miksav. But Rashi says that they permitted them to write it down, Divrei Yochid, on a Megillas Starim, meaning it was in a private kind of ledger and it wasn't for public access. So you weren't allowed to publish, if you will, Torah Shebal Peh. But there was this thing called Megillas Starim. And Rav says that he got a hold of a Megillas Starim in his uncle's house. That's Rabbi Chia. And V'kasuban, here's what it said in this Megillas Starim. And we're going back to one of the Tanoim. His name is Isi ben Yehuda. Isi ben Yehuda Omer, Avos Malachos Arboim Chaser Achas. So he agrees that there are 39 malachas at this point. But eino chayav el al achas. There's only one of the 39 which incur a chiyuv skila. The Gemara says, eini, could that be possible? Vatnan avos malachas arboim chaser achas. Ve'avinan bey, and we ask, minyan olamali, why did the Tana have to indicate that there are 39 and count up the number? So you see that you're chai for all 39. How could Isi ben Yehuda say that you're only chai for one? Ella, so the Gemara says, we misunderstood what Isi ben Yehuda was saying. Let's reformulate it. Ema, we should say, Eino chayev al achas mien. Out of the 39, there's one of them that he's not chayev for. V'hok ha-mashbalon, but in the case of Havara and Hotzah, you're chayev. So Rashi says, what does Isi ben Yehuda mean when he says, Eino chayev al achas mien? There's one of the 39 that does not generate a chiyuv skila. Says Rashi, Achas yesh bahen, one out of the list of 39, eino chayev alei misa, velo pirish ezohi. He doesn't specify which one is the one that's not chayev. Ashmin and Tana, our Masnisin tells us that you get skila for hotzah v'achnasa. Why? Because hotzah v'achnasa lo misafkinen le. They are not included in the suffix. All the other 38 malachas are included in the suffix. So now we have the following situation. We know that Yechayev Misa, and even Isi ben Yehuda admits it in the case of Hotzah. What about the other 38 malachos? Well, 37 out of 38 are Mechayev Skila, but one out of the 38 is not Mechayev Skila. But Mesafkale, we don't know which one is the one that's not Mechayev Skila out of the 38. So what I want to share with you today, which I found very fascinating, is a piece here in the Sefer HaLikutim. I have one copy, there's another copy out there, in which he quotes the Kovetz. Kovetz is an anthology of different writings on the Rambam. And in Perek Zayin, Halacha Zayin, he spends a long, very complicated paragraph here to prove that the Rambam did not accept Isi ben Yehuda. And the fact that the Rambam says in two places that Yechayev Misa for 39 malachas, that's against Isi ben Yehuda, because of course Isi ben Yehuda, what's the maximum number of Chiyuvei Chatos and Chiyuvei Skila that you can incur? 38 is one that's off the list. But the Rambam has 39. And that's okay, he says. There are those who wanted to push, how did the Rambam paskin against Isi ben Yehuda? But the answer is that the other Tanoim disagreed with Isi ben Yehuda. In fact, he asks the question, how could Isi ben Yehuda argue against the Mishnah itself when the Mishnah says that there are 39 malachas and Rabbi Yochanan says that Yechai 39 chatos? So he suggests that maybe Isi ben Yehuda holds like one particular Tana, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira in the Yushalmi. The Yushalmi has a Tana who says that there are 40 malachas. And he adds another malacha to the list. However, Isi ben Yehuda says that only in 39 out of the 40 will you be chayav misa. In that additional malacha, which is number 40, which we don't know what it is, there you don't get misa. And at the end of the day, if that be the case, it's quite possible that the Rambam would accept Isi ben Yehuda. And it's not a steer to the Mishnah that says 39 malachas generate a fee of skill, because even Isi ben Yehuda could agree that 39 malachas generated a skill. It's only the 40th, which we don't know, that anonymous number 40 that doesn't generate a fee of skill. And therefore he says, Hachi Perush, this is how we want to explain Isi ben Yehuda, Arboim Ovos Malachas Hain. And when it says V'chaser Achas, it means that the Torah says that there's no Chiyuv Skila on one of the 40. That's what it means by Chaser Achas. Not that the total number is 39. The total number, in fact, is 40. But Chaser Achas means one doesn't generate a Chiyuv Skila. Im Kein L'Didan, De Kaimalon. Oh, so he has a whole shtickle Torah in the Yushalmi that 50th Malacha is Schita. And Schita is an Av Malacha. But we don't paskin like that. We paskin that Schita is only a Tolda. And therefore we only have 39 Malacha. So the additional 40th Malacha here, that's not listed in our Mishnah, but according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, there's a 40th Malacha, that is Malacha Schita. And Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra holds that schita is an av malacha. It's not a told, but we paskin that schita is only a told. It's a told of malabin, might be a told of mafarik. Maybe we should have a whole discussion about this, but that's a different topic. And therefore, we have to take the Mishnah literally and say that all 39 malachas generate a chiyuv skila. We don't have the option of taking Isi ben Yehuda's possibility that there's a 40th malacha that's included in Malacha Shabbos that doesn't generate a chiyuv skila. We have, and that's how the Rambam paskins, a miksha achas here. All 39 malachas on the same level, and they each are mechayev a chiyuv skila. That's Hakofa Aleph. And he comes to the conclusion that the Rambam paskins against Isi ben Yehuda. Then we have Hakofa Bet. And he says that in the Gilyon on the Rambam, meaning on the, he says the Dian for Rambam, I think I have it somewhere, but I have to find it. Anyway, the Rambam that was published in a city in Germany called Dian for it, there's a Gilyon, and on the Gilyon, there's an entire inscription that was written by Morenu Verabenu Yeshaya Berlin. And he writes the following. He says that lo zachisi lahavin, I don't understand the sheet of Isi ben Yehuda. So what's Isi ben Yehuda saying? That 38 out of 39 avos generate a chiyuv chatus, but and a chiyuv skila, but one of them is exempt from skila. He says, I don't get it. If one of them is exempt from skila, we don't know which it was. He says then, Hamachal Shabbos b'malach achas mi'alamites malachas v'lo yadina b'birur dilma haynu hach malacha she'eno chayev chatos. Maybe that's the one that's potter from chatos. He says, therefore, based on that dilma, islamishkachasle, we cannot be mechayev skila because we always have to raise the possibility, the suffix, that maybe that malach is what? The one that's not chayev skila, elabot savach nasa bilvad. The only time that you can generate chiv skila, let's according to Isi ben Yehuda, would only be for tzanach nasa. And that we know is not true. The Mishnah says, arvoim chaser acha. So you did a very nice trick, and you said to me, well, there's a 40th malacha, and therefore we can still maintain the Mishnah that you chayev 39 chatos and 39 skilos. But that's not going to help me, because when we give him a warning and we say to him, well, you might be chayv skila, well, he'll laugh at you because he'll say, that's the malach that you're not chayv skila. I'm just dramatizing it. But we always are left with that suffix. And therefore, he says, we don't understand how Isi ben Yehuda could possibly adopt or accept the position of the Mishnah that there are 39 chiyuve skila. Because once you're telling me that one of those 39 does not generate a chiyuv skila, then it's always going to be a suffix. That's the kasha that Rabbi Shaya Berlin asks. Mamish a gevaldik kasha that every single halacha now becomes a suffix. So if you take a look at Yamar Makomo's page, so I have a number, hey, I tell you to look at this Sefer HaLikutim, so you please make a note of that. Lo zachisi lahavin hech yaduna b'skila dilma hach malacha sha'asa hi achas she'eino chayev esoleh. Fine. Then I wrote to you that ayin shom behemshech hadvar. So what's the next line here in this Sefer HaLikutim? He says, "Hine chosni, my son-in-law." That it's good when a shver can quote his eidim. That's very good. Harav, hamuflag, hacharif, mori, harav, shimshon, neiro yoi. Wow, that's a nice father-in-law giving a nice title to his son. And he says, "Gam im halacha ki isi yesh makom lomar dechayev misal kol malachu malach." Against Rabbi Yeshaya of Berlin. And he tells you to take a look in Masechet Chulin. That's what I wrote here, a number Vav. He says, Yesh Lodun, in this case, on each malach, it's a Sofek Chiv Skila. do we have the possibility of judging a suffix chiyuv skila like we do of any suffix? Like, let's say, for example, I have a mixture of meat, and most of the meat in this mixture is kosher, and some of it is not kosher. And now I find a piece of meat, and I don't know if it came from the kosher pieces of meat or the non-kosher piece of meat. So what principle do I apply? Called the parish, miruva parish. And I assume that since the rov is made up of kosher pieces of meat, this meat that was parish comes from the rov. And the Torah says, achiram lahatis. So now I don't know if this malacha came from the rov, right? 38 malachas out of 39 generate a chiyuv skila. So I have this malacha that he violated. I don't know whether it belongs to the 38th, or maybe it belongs to that one single malacha that doesn't generate a chiyuv skila. So what should I apply here? Kol de parish, miruba parish. But if you watch his language, he says, yesh ladun. He says, he's not 100% sure. He says, kevan sherov malachas hema bonish misa. He says, maybe therefore I can apply the principle of rov. And he's not sure about it. What does he need the Gemara in Chulin for? If I have to tell you that Kol de Parish Meruba Parish, I don't need Chulin Daf Yud Aleph on the base. I mean, that's all over the show. Kol de Parish Meruba Parish is probably in every Masechet and Shas. But what's unique about Chulin Daf Yud Aleph? Does anybody remember that sugya? The question is whether Rove works for a chiyuv dinei nefashos, to put someone to death. The Torah says we can rely on rov, and therefore I can eat this piece of meat and I can assume it's kosher, but does that mean that I can put someone to death based on a rov? That's the Gemara, that's the sugya on Daf Yud Aleph in Masechta Chul. Does anybody know what the final conclusion of that Gemara is? You can or you cannot?
Based on rov.
Should I argue with you, Zev?
Well, you wanna... I know definitely in Ezekiel you can't.
But again, Reuven kills Shimon. What happens to Reuven now, the murderer? What does the Torah tell him? Put him to death, right?
Yeah.
Now, if you're not going to accept Rov, there's no way that you can put a murderer to death. That's what the Gemara says in Chul.
Maybe the Trefa.
Exactly. So let me get back to Dr. Joel's point though. So the Gemara in Chulin addresses the following issue. Can we use Rov to put someone to death? In other words, the Miut says that he doesn't deserve to die, but the Rov says he deserves to die. So Zev says, and he's very logical, that how can you apply Rov to kill a person based on Rov? How can you do such a thing? Maybe he belongs to the Miut. So the Gemara says, I'll prove to you that Rov works even for Dini Nefashis to put someone to death. What's the proof? So that's what Dr. Joel mentioned before. That when the Rotzeach kills Shimon, we don't know what the status of Shimon is. Maybe Shimon was a trefa. Trefa means he had an internal injury and he's not going to live. Let's say he can live up to a year maybe, that's max. And the law is that a horiges a trefa is potter. So every Rotzeach now should be a safek. Maybe he killed a trefa. So the Gemara says, I have a right to assume that Shimon, the Nirtzach, is not a trefa. Why? Because rove people are not trefas. The Gemara first tries to say, hey, we'll do an autopsy and we'll try to figure out if Shimon was a trefa or he's not a trefa. The Gemara says, but you're not allowed to do an autopsy, but maybe if this autopsy may save Reuven the Rotzeach from his life, so then we have a hechter to do an autopsy to save Reuven the Rotzeach from getting killed. So the Gemara says that an autopsy is not going to help. Because Dilma... exactly where the sword went into his body, he had a hole. So the results of the autopsy will not help you. So the Gemara says that we have to rely on Rov, and we have to assume that Shimon the Nirtzach was a healthy person, a bari, and not a treif, and therefore we can put Reuven to death. Oh, so I begin to understand why the Sefer Alikutim, in the name of the Kovetz, is very concerned about offering this suggestion that maybe even according to Issa ben Yehuda, when a person violates a Melechah Shabbos, I can put him to death, even though it's possible that that Melechah is the one Melechah that's potter from Skila. And the answer is wrong, but he's not sure about it. So he tells you to look in Chulin, Daf Yud Aleph, because there you'll find that the extent and the scope of Rov is so powerful that it even applies to Dinin and Fashas. We can put someone to death based on Rov. And that's what the Kovetz says. Then he asks the following question. Okay, you have Shimon. Shimon was the Nirtzach. You don't know where he came from. Did he come from this group? That's most Briam, or did he come from that little group of minority of Trefus? So we apply the principle called the Parsh Merubah. That's fine. That's the Sugyan Chul. But we have another principle. And that undermines Rov. What's that called? Excellent. Kavua. Kol Kavua Kimechtzal Mechtzidon. And now, the Sefer HaKovetz embarks upon a very interesting analytic investigation. What is the status of a malacha? Is a malacha considered called a parish, miruba parish, or is a malacha considered kavua? We have now on the table 38 malachas. We said that, folks, so you definitely have. So that's not part of the song. But we have 38 malachas, and they're sitting on the table. We'll write a little note, right? Right here on the table. Each malacha gets its own little pen. And now we have 38. Do I have the right to say kol de parish miruba parish? If I look at the violator, the one who desecrated the Shabbos, and he was certainly guilty of a melech Shabbos, we just don't know if he is chayv skila. So maybe you could say we look at him as a kol de parish miruba parish. The melech has already jumped out of the tarot. But if we're going to go back to the melech itself, and we're going to ask ourselves the question, does this person generate a chiyuv bis because he violated that malacha which is chayuv? Well, that malacha itself is included in a bag, in a mixture, together with 38 malachas total, and that's kavua b'mkoman. There's no kol d'parsh m'ruva parsh. And l'chora we can prove that the halacha here is kol kavua k'mechtzal mechtzadami. We're not looking at the machal Shabbos, we're looking at the malacha per se, which is kavua, because we cannot be machayev someone misa for kol Shabbos without what? Asra, right? We need asra. And asra has to be on the malacha. So we have to be able to establish that this malacha, which I'm giving you asra about, generates a chiyuv misa. So at the real yisod asafik, the shorish asafik is not the person who violated the malacha, because even before we get to that, we have to ask ourselves a previous question about the asra. And that asra raises the question of where and what is the status of this malacha. I'm telling you, don't be ma'amer. Well, maybe ma'amer is a malacha grua, right? We spoke about ma'amer. And therefore it doesn't generate a chiyuv skila. So we know that Ma'amir is part of a whole potpourri, a whole mixture of 38 malachas sacha kol, and one of them is not mechayev nisa. I don't know what the status of Ma'amir is. Is kol kavua kemechtzal mechtzadami? I'll read to you his language, and he says, "Rov hamalachas heim ba'onish misa is the afal gav the esvar the kevon the al kol chad v'chad on each malach itself." We have a suffix. Maybe it's patur. Is a reza dummy lekol kavua kemechtzal mechtze dummy. So again, let's just understand. His goal is to explain that according to Isi Ben Yehuda, when you violate a melech Shabbos, you get skila, despite the suffix that maybe that's the one melacha that doesn't generate a chiyuv skila. That's his goal. In order to arrive at this goal, he wants to introduce the svar of Rov. In order to establish Rov, he has to quote a sugya to prove that Rov works even in Dini Nefashos. He's still stuck with the problem that we don't know about the nature of the malacha itself. The Asra was on malacha. Was that malacha that belongs to the Rov? Well, that's called Kavua Kemetzal Mechza. There's no Parish over here. So how is he able to get to his goal, to the finishing line, and exclude Kavua and support Rov? So he quotes a sefer, which I'm not sure who wrote this sefer, called the Shalom Yushalayim. Okay. Now, we can quote the Shalom Yushalayim today and tomorrow. We can't quote him on Friday because he probably celebrates Purim on Friday because his name is Shalom Yushalayim. I'm just joking. That was my Purim joke for the year. Okay. So what does the Shalom Yerushalayim have to say? He says that lo amrinon kavua elahecha di eno misnaged kineged harov bedavar echad. Kavua doesn't always apply. Like, let's say, for example, I have a piece of meat. I can decide, based on the circumstances, whether this meat is kavua or it's parish. There's no head-on collision between the two. But if we have a head-on collision between the two, such that from now until doomsday, I'm going to call this kavua, bimafkia rov, then we don't apply kavua. In other words, I think what he's saying is that rov is innocent until proven guilty, meaning that kavua has to come along, and with its power, it has to be mafkia the rov. If kavua does not have the power to mafkia rov, then we go back to rov. So it's only if and when I can establish kavua in such a way that it doesn't conflict with the rov, so there's no head-on collision, I can decide that in this scenario we have a kavua situation, and rov doesn't speak to a kavua. So the rov is left alone for other scenarios, but in this scenario we're going to apply kavua, that's fine. Because there's no, as we say, shnayim, you know, it's not kol yom gavar here between kavua and rov. But if you're dealing with a malacha, and now you want to know the status of this malacha from now until the end of time, and now you're going to tell me, well, kavua is going to come and say, well, even though this malacha should logically belong to the rov, kavua is mafkia the rov, kavua does not have the power to be mafkia the rov. And I think the underlying logic is because kavua makes no sense. What do I mean it makes no sense? Very often you'll find in Shas, in many different contexts, the word chidush. Have you ever heard of it? Like, for example, the Gemara says that Edim Zomimim is a chidush. Why should you listen and rely on the Mazimim against the Zomimim? It's trade and trade. So the Gemara says chidush, and therefore Abai says, and this is one of the six cases where Paschalik Abai is Mikan Lahava Hu Nifsal, even though that makes no sense, but because the whole din of Edim Zomim makes no sense of chidush, his chidush only works Mikan Lahava. The Ran in Chulin is famous for saying that Kavua only works Mikan Lahava. Kavua doesn't work Lamafreya, because Kavua is a chidush. So we see that in the context of applying Kavua, because it's a chidush, and we don't know exactly why the Torah says Kol Kavua Kamech Tzal Metzah Domi, we're going to impose many restrictions on Kavua. And we're going to always battle in favor of the Rov. So the Sefer HaKovetz here, in the case of defining the status of each malacha, whether I could use rov to define the status, or should I say kol kavua, he says we're going to tip the scale in favor of rov, because as far as the status of this malacha, we have a head-on collision between rov and kavua, and that's what the principle here coined by the Shalom Yerushalayim is that lo amrinan kavua elahecha di eno misnaged kineged harov bedavar echad. So therefore, he says that we have a case of rov. He goes on to say that a horiges atreifa patur, and therefore, in order to be machayv the rotzeach misa, we're going to have to apply the principle of rov to assume that he's a bari, the victim was a bari and not a treifa. Is trichem lelech basa ruba, v'laz linen basa kavua. Because again, if you're going to apply the din of kavua, then you're going to contradict the law of rotzeach. The Torah says that you put a rotzeach to death. Well, if you're going to be choshish for kol kavua kamech tzal metzah tov, then you've just basically undermined the entire halacha that a rotzeach is chayav misa. And therefore, we must assume that in this case, there's a misnagdus between the rov and the kavua. We're going to rely on rov. Then he suggests that maybe Enochinami, even if we go with Kavua, we would still say he's Chayav Misa, and it's not a steerer to the Torah because it's Chayav Misa B'din Shamayim. That's a wild idea. I'm not even going to go that way. I can't go down that route. So that's what he says over here. Fascinating shtickle Torah here in the Sefer HaKovetz. Okay. But now, Rabosai, I want to point out to you that there's a sugya that explicitly, I think, or at least implicitly, addresses this very question of how could we be Machayev Skila for violation of Melech HaShabbos according to Isi Ben Yehuda? Where do I find this sugya? This is the famous sugya Mekoshesh Eitzim. And that's on Daf Tzadi Vavav in Beis. The Gemara offers three different possible shitos, three different possible answers to the question, why was the Mekoshesh Eitzim put to death? What exactly was the malacha that he violated? And the Gemara quotes Rabbi Yehuda, the name of Shmuel, Mekoshesh Mavir Arba Avis Bish Sarabim Havu. Then the Gemara quotes a brisa, Masnisin Tana Tolesh Hava. And Rav Achavar of Yaakov Omar Ma'amer Hava. Now, if I were to present to you a three-way machlokas, or any sort of machlokas about Mekoshesh, what exactly did the Mekoshesh do? Would you be upset with me about that? In other words, would you say, you know this in basketball, it's called a technical foul? Would you say that the whole question is a technical foul? Who cares? Why are you racking your brains about why they put the Mekoshesh to death? Was it A, was it B, was it Z? Who cares? Is that a valid technical foul?
You couldn't warn him, though.
No, I'm asking, you're missing my point. Maybe I'm not, pedagogically, I'm not succeeding in presenting my question to you. But the Gemara is about to ask, who cares? I'm going to read to you the Gemara. I didn't read it yet, but so I'm making believe we don't know the next line of the Gemara. But it is, when the Gemara initially asked, what malacha did the Mekoshesh violate? Is that a fair question to ask?
Yeah, why not?
Why is it a fair question to ask? Who cares what he was... Mekoshesh is long dead and buried. Do I have to exhume his body from the dead and determine why he was chayav misa? The answer is Alan. Torah even right. I want to read a parasha in the Chumash. The Torah told me an episode, a story about the Mekoshesh. I would like to understand what went on. For some reason, the Gemara is not happy with Berzon. And the Gemara says, L'may nafkamina. I don't know. I wouldn't have asked this question, L'may nafkamina. The Gemara is like possibly the whole episode, the whole enterprise here. Well, why are you racking your brains with three different shitas? Who cares? I care. I want to know who the Mekoshesh Eitzim was and what he violated. But the Gemara doesn't think in my way. Maybe the Gemara thinks that if I can get a better answer to the question, and this three-way machlokas about the Mekoshesh has a halachic nafkamina, it has repercussions in halacha. If we don't answer the question, my nafkamina will say Torah Yiva Lilman Nitzarach is a poshut pshat and posuk. I want to understand the posuk in Chumash. But the Gemara thinks that maybe we can get to a better answer. L'may nafkamina, the answer is... Say again? Excellent for Isi Ben Yehuda. Look at a Rav, the Omer Rav Matzasi, Megillah story, Bei Reb Chiya, Mekosim Bei, Isi Ben Yehuda, Omer Omer Smokas, Arboim Chosar Achas, V'yedum Chayev Ela Achas, V'sulo, V'asnan, Arboim Chosar Achas, Vavir Bebe Yochanan, Shem Sokul Mech Chayev Al Kol Achas V'Achas. Ela says Gemara Ema, Eino Chayev Al Achas V'Hen, is one of them that doesn't generate a Chiyuv Misa. Is Lir Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yehuda, says that the Mekoshesh was put to death for what? For Mavir Dalet Amis is Pshitalei, the Mavir Dalet Amis Chayev Misa. Lefimas Nisan, according to the Brice of Shitalei, the Tolesh Chayav Misa, right? Because Mekoshesh was guilty, they put him to death for Tolesh. Ularav Acha Bar Yaakov Shitalei Dema Amir Chayav. Is therefore he's Shitalei, he's Chayav Misa. And how do we know this? Because they put him to death. Is Rabosai? If we didn't have the parasha of Mekoshesh, then apparently what would have happened? If we didn't know that the Mekoshesh was put to death, let's take Rabbi Yehuda, you can pick him out of the hat. He was Mavir Dalet Amis B'Shus HaRavim. If we had not known, and the Torah didn't tell us, according to Rabbi Yehuda,
we wouldn't know that we'd get Skila.
Exactly, we wouldn't get Skila. So who's right in this machlokus between Rabbi Yeshaya mi Berlin and Chosni Harab Shimon Neiro Yoyim? Did you see that Rabbi Yeshaya mi Berlin is correct? That we would not be able to give the Mekoshesh Eitzim Skila unless we knew that Malacha X is not a suffix. The entire thrust of my nafgamina, why do we have to know which malacha the Mekoshesh was in violation of, is in order to establish that we can give him skila for that malacha. Because until we learned the parash of Mekoshesh, Markinisle, we had a suffix of this malacha. But now we took this malacha out of the suffix list. We put it on the vare list. My nafgamina? To give him skila. So you see clearly that the Gemara is assuming that in the absence of any proof positive that this malacha is b'toras vadai, you would not be able to give skila for that malacha b'toras suffik. And we don't apply the principle of Rove. And I don't know how the Sefer HaKovetz is going to learn this sugya. Is everybody with me on that?
How do you know they didn't know which one was the skila?
No, I'm just saying they never knew whether a particular malacha was chayav skila. But the only way I can figure out whether it's chayav skila is if I go back to the parasha of Mekoshesh, and if I determine that they put the Mekoshesh to death for malacha X, then I know it was vadai. If it had not been a vadai, they wouldn't have put him into death. And therefore, Isi ben Yehuda never had a suffix about these three malachas. Markedisle. As far as the remainder, the balance of the malachas, I know we couldn't give him skila. The fact that they gave him skila, says the Gemara, is proof positive that that malach, which the Mekoshesh violated, is Bitaris Vadai, and there was never a suffix on that malacha. So it means that just like there was no suffix about malachas Hotzah, there was no malacha suffix about malachas Mavir, or malachas Ma'amir, Markinisle, Tolesh.
What?
And therefore they put him to death. So the Gemara is going to prove that these malachos are mechayev skila according to Isi ben Yehuda from the fact that the Mekoshesh, who was guilty of those malachos, was put to death. The clear cut implication is, had they not known for sure that that malach was off the suffix list, but rather was on the chart of the vadai, they wouldn't have possibly put him to death. How can they put to death Mekoshesh for a suffix? The answer is that these malachas were not part of the suffix. And that's the Gemara's answer to my nafgamina. We have a halachic nafgamina of great significance in determining what the malacha of the Mekoshesh was guilty for, because now we can give a skila. According to Isa ben Yehuda, if we don't know what that malach is, then it remains a suffix and we can't give him skila.
Does Isa ben Yehuda say that nobody knew that the back to Har Sinai? They didn't know that. The Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know.
I have no idea. I would say, if you ask me for my gut feeling, I would say that probably at some point it was clear. But over the course of the transmission, which, as we know, many sfeikas crept up over the course of a long period of Jewish history, and the transmission of the Torah unfortunately was faulty, and we lost certain halachas. It's true, by the way, that even at the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, they lost halachas. Over 3,000 halachas. Do you remember who came later on in history and brought?
Esmanel or something.
You're close. His name was Osniel ben Knaz, right? He was the one who married Kalev's daughter because he was able to be machzer all these halachas. There were other periods of time when they forgot other halachas. That's what I would assume. It's very hard for me to believe that originally when Moshe Rabbeinu got the halacha, and it says v'chalev mos yuas, and that applies to all 39 halachas, that he didn't know which halacha was included. Because the Torah says all 39 are included. But one of them is not included. So I can accept Hakaf Aleph, that the one that's not included is number 40. And we don't know what that is. But you can't tell me that they were Machayev and Misa because of Rov. If they're Machayev and Misa because of Rov, then we're back to my Nafgamina. The Gemara says in the Nafgamina, to learning up the Sugya Mekoshesh is to know which Malach is Vadai, so we can give him Skila. But now I want to ask you a different question. There's a sugya in Masechta Sanhedrin. If you take a look on Daf on number Ches on Yamar Makomas page, and the sugya wants to understand what was Moshe Rabbeinu's problem in the case of Mekoshesh. What was he confused about? After all, the Gemara says, the Pasuk says explicitly, in Parshas Vayakel, it says, Mechalev Mos Yumos. So Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know that for violating Shabbos, Yochayim Misa. How could Moshe Rabbeinu not know that? So the Gemara says that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know which particular Misa he'd be Chayev. And the Gemara says that there's a Pasuk in Bamidbar, I forgot to bring a Chumash here. A Chumash Bamidbar. Alright. You don't mind, you have to just pull a Chumash, any of those blue Chumashim I like off the table. If you could open up to Parshas, what is it there? Bamidbar, Perek Tesvav. Alright. So if somebody could do me a favor and open up the Gemara in Sanhedrin for me, I think it's here or here. Alright, this is Sanhedrin here. We'll keep it here then. Alright. So Bamidbar Perek Tesvav Pasuk Lamidal. Okay, what does it say in that Pasuk? Mayasalo. Why did they lock up the Mekoshesh? What was the missing? You know, what was the confusing point that they didn't know what to do? He says Mayasalo, and the Gemara says that Mayasalo means which Misa Zichai. And the very next pasuk says Vayomer Hashem Moshe. We're going to put him to death by stoning. So Tosus here, Masechta Sanhedrin, says the following. Lo avi yodea bi'eza misa. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know which particular death he was chayv. V'afal gav de misa stam cheneku. We have a principle here in Masechta Sanhedrin that whenever it says Misa in the Torah, put someone to death, it means Chenek. So therefore, Lishitaso, that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know what Mos Yumos meant, he should have assumed it meant Chenek. So why was he confused about, and it's even more difficult. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Rom Yigamu Ba'avana, meaning that he's Chayev Skil. Okay, that I can understand. This is the exception to the rule. No, the Torah has a general rule that unless you know otherwise, Misa means Chen. But in this case, HaKadosh Baruch Hu came down from the heavens and he told Moshe Rabbeinu that for Chil Shabbos you're Chayev Skila and you're not Chayev Chen. That I can live with. But what was Moshe Rabbeinu's motivation to ask the question? Moshe Rabbeinu understands that unless we know otherwise, and unless HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells you that this particular Avera is the exception to the rule, then Stam Misa is Bechenek. So why did Moshe Rabbeinu just simply put the Mekoshesh Eitzim to death with Chenek? Satos says a gevaldige chiddush. Listen to this. You got to hold on to your chairs for this. He says that Moshe Rabbeinu had a svara to say that this is the exception to the rule. And Stam Chenek, Misa the Stam, is Chenek would not apply in the case of Chil Shabbos. Why? There's a whole sugya on Daf Samach that Avodah Zorah generates a Chiyuv Skila, and it's taken out of the principle of Stam Misa Bechenek. That's because of the Chumrah of Avodah Zorah. Why would Moshe Rabbeinu think that since this gentleman was Machal Shabbos, therefore he should get the punishment of an Oved Avodah Zorah? Zotaisis the Machal Shabbos before Hes Yahavi, because Mekoshesh did it publicly. Vahavi Kofer Beikar. He's considered a Kofer, the Kofer who b'maisa bracious. Now, later on, I want to discuss with you the halachic implications of this principle, because we're going to see in Yoredeya that if an Oveda of Avodah Zorah, you're not allowed to drink from his wine, and you can't trust him in his Shechita, even if you have Godel Yisrael Omin Al Gabov. The very, very harsh implications to the fact that an Oveda of Avodah Zorah is Kofa B'Ikar, and he has a special status as a Mumar, but let me leave that for 10 minutes from now. Let's not cloud our minds with too many confusing factors. But Tosa says the following, that since Shabbos is Zeich L'Maisa Breishis, and Breishis is one of the Ikrei Adas, therefore, the Svara of Moshe Rabbeinu was that the Machal Shabbos has the same status as an Oved Avodah Zorah, just like an Oved Avodah Zorah is Kofar B'Ikar. Ikar means one of the primary rules of tenets of the faith, we call it. So too, a Machal Shabbos is guilty of being Kofar B'Ikar, of one of the major rules. So one of the major rules is what? That God created the world. So Chil Shabbos is the denial of God's creation, and therefore that's the same status as what? As an Oved Avodah Zorah. So Moshe Rabbeinu thought that maybe the severity of Shabbos, insofar as it's equivalent to Avodah Zorah, should take Shabbos out of the general pot of Stam Misa Mechenek and give him a more Choradik Misa. And that more Choradik Misa is Skila. And if you'll ask me why did Moshe Rabbeinu think that he should get Skila, the answer is because an Oved Avodah Zorah gets Skila. Tosis asks himself the following question. I mean, he doesn't ask it, but he answers it. And if you'll say to me, well, Machal Shabbos is not considered an Oved Avodah Zorah, he doesn't have the same status as Oved Avodah Zorah. Why? Because he did it Bitsina. And if you violate the Shabbos Bitsina, and there were only two Eidim who saw it, then you don't have the din of an Oved Avodah Zorah. The answer is that Mekoshesh was guilty of Machal Shabbos where? Bifar Hesya. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu had the Havamina, this is the Salkadaita of Moshe Rabbeinu, that the Mekoshe should be put to death by Skila. And let's not apply the principle of what? Of Stam Misa Bechenek. Moshe Rabbeinu's Havamina is a very good Havamina. It's so good that who gave him the approbation, the approval for that Havamina? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he said, yeah, you know what we're going to do with this Mekoshe? We're going to put him to death by what? By Skila. I don't understand what's going on. If we accept this Tosfos, we're in a very difficult bond. Can anybody guess what he's going to ask? If HaKadosh Baruch Hu responded in the affirmative to Moshe Rabbeinu's Havamina, and he said, you're right, that even though Stam Mises Bechenek, the Machal Shabbos is going to be what? He's going to be stoned. Why? Because he has the din of an Oved Avodah Zorah. Bishlema. I'm trying to, again, I didn't go to dental school here, so I'm having a lot of trouble here. Pulling teeth.
It's only because he did it in public. If he exactly. did it privately, he wouldn't be fired.
The Mela says, Rabbi Kivager, if someone is Machal Shabbos Bitsina, then we should go back to the original principle of Stav Misa Bechenek. And yet that's not the Allah. The Allah is that every Machal Shabbos is Chayiv Skila. But if this whole parsha of Urugamah also about money is to answer Moshe Rabbeinu and give him the nod of approval, your logic, your svara, your love, this was correct, that the Mekoshe should be put to death by Skila because he's like an Oved Avodah Zorah, then says Rabbi Kivager, La'aloch la'maisa, minolan l'didan, he says, how do we know for us that even a Machal Shabbos B'tzino should be chayav Misa Skila? Why not go back to the original Havamina of Moshe Rabbeinu that Stam Misa Bechenek? The exception to that rule is Machal Shabbos B'far Hesya, and he's considered like an Oved Avodah Zorah. But in the case of Tzina Koshali, Lefi Zeh, since Lo Ayosveko Shal Moshe Rabbeinu Olav Hashalom Rak B'Machal B'far Hesya, the Havilei Din Shal Wad Shal Kofar B'Yikor again, Adaimi Nolan Ladina, Ladina means for us, the Machal Shabbos Bitsina Beskila Dilma Hodim Mekoshesh Beskila Hayu Shakodesh Ba. No, it's now that we're taking Mekoshesh out of the general rule, it becomes the exception to the rule of Stam Misa Bechenek. Oh, that's because he was a Mekoshesh Eitzim Be Farhesya Hayu Dakodesh Ba, who is given Moshe Rabbeinu all of Asholem Lisvarazu. But Dafka as far as Zubifar Hesya, because he has a din of what? Of an Oved Avodah Zorah of a Kofar B'Ikar, of a Bitsino Minolan. Gevaldik Akasha Rebbe Kivager. How do we know that a Machal Shabbos Bifar Hesya, I'm sorry, that a Machal Shabbos Bitsino is Chayiv Skila? Nobody doubts that. There's nowhere in Shulchan Aruch or in Rambam or anywhere in Shas that a Machal Shabbos Farhesi is Chayav Skila, but a Machal Shabbos Bitsin is Chayav Chenek. But if HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling Moshe Rabbeinu, yes, you're right in your Svara, take Machal Shabbos out of the pot of Stam Misa B'Chenek And why is Mechal Shabbos exceptional? Because since he was Mechal Shabbos before Hestia, he has a din of a kofar b'ikar. Then in the case of Tzina, we go back to our original position, the general halacha and the rule that governs all Misa, that Stam Misa is Bechenek. And therefore, Mechal Shabbos b'Tzina should be Chayv Chenek. The eyes in a cup of Rav Kivegat, he's so mathematical, you're so logical. So the one who tries to answer this kasha of Kivega, which is a Tzarech Iyim Gadol, is the Rosh Hashiva of Mir, the former Rosh Hashiva of Mir, Reb Chaim Shmuel Evitz. I don't know how many people were zochet to hear him. Don't know answer once. I'm the only one here in the room. Wow.
I read his book.
Yeah. I heard his shmuzim. I mean, it was very hard to understand him. He had problems, you know, in his older years, but... it's just pain to go, just to be there at the Ma'amad, just to hear Reb Chaim. So Reb Chaim tells us to look at a Tosfos in Bava Basra. This is really impressive. All the way in Bava Basra. And you got to learn 120 blocks in Bava Basra to get to this, Tosfos. So Tosaf says the following. Nirala Rajba. Okay, so this has to do with the sugya of Yesh Nochlin and the status of Benos Slavchon. Anyway, Tosaf says that the sugya in Bava Basra is assuming, like one man diomar in Masechta Shabbos, that Slavchon was the Mekoshesh Eitzin. Okay, fine. Now, Slavchon is known to be a tzaddik. And Tosis is very uncomfortable just enunciating the words that who was the Mekoshesh Eitzim, this faceless, anonymous desecrator of Shabbos, public desecrator of Shabbos. He was no less than the personality of Tzlofchad. So Tosis says the following. You remember this is so world famous. And we talked about it once. The Omar bin Medrash. The L'shem Shamayim Niskave. What was Slavchad's Maisa Kanos, which led to his own death? Hayu Omrim Yisrael, in the aftermath of the Maisa of the Meraglim, Omrim Yisrael, the people started saying the following: Kevet Shenigzar Aleim Shel Likanes La'aretz. Sounds like the Ramban who says that the mitzvahs are given to Eretz Yisrael outside the just exercise, is therefore shuv einam mechuyovim b'mitzvahs. You know, it's a nice thing, you know, it's optional if you like, but there's no chiyuv of mitzvahs. Mitzvahs were given for Eretz Yisrael, we're not going into Eretz Yisrael, that was the gzeirah of the Meraglim. Is therefore, Slavchad saw a terrible thing happening here. Now again, where was Moshe Rabbeinu in this episode? I don't know. Where was Aaron HaKohen? I don't know. But the one who came forward was Slavchad. Amad v'chilel Shabbos. And why? Kedei sheyehareg v'yiru acherim, and others will fear, and they'll know that the mitzvahs are still very much valid. Again, you could ask 1,000 questions on this midrash. But what we want to get today is not a question, but an answer. An answer to Rabbi Kivega. The reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu paskined that the Mechal Shabbos would be put to death is because Chil Shabbos generates a Chiyuv Skila. And if Rabbi Kivega thinks that the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that the Mekoshesh Eitzim has to be put to death is because since he did it for Hesia, therefore he has a din of a kofar b'ikar, chas v'shalom to say such a thing. He was not a kofar b'ikar. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew that. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know what was motivating this Jew to violate the Shabbos. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu certainly knew. He's bochein klayis v'lev. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu understood that he was not a kofar b'ikar. And therefore, how could HaKadosh Baruch Hu say that we should put him to death through skila if the whole Hava Mina to take Chil Shabbos out of the general the general part of Chiyuv Skil, of Chiyuv Chenek, is because he's equal to a Kofer Beikar, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have obviously said, give him Chenek, don't give him Skila. He's not a Kofer Beikar. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should have told Moshe Rabbeinu and instructed him, you cannot put this guy to death for Skila. You want to put a guy to death for Skila if he is a Kofer Beikar, that's fine. But that's not going to apply to the Mekosh Shechim. He's Slavchot according to this Medrash. And he was Liskavim L'Shem Shamayim. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should have instructed Moshe Rabbeinu to put the Mekoshesh to death by Chenek. From the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructs Moshe Rabbeinu to put the Mekoshesh Eitzim to death by Skila, it means that Chil Shabbos itself is the exception to rule. Bein b'faresu, bein b'tzina, bein b'kofer b'ikar, bein b'lo kofer b'ikar. The Chil Shabbos itself generates a Chiyuv Skila. And the mail of the answer to Rabbi Kivega's question is that obviously HaKadosh Baruch was teaching us in the Parashat Mekoshesh that the Chil Shabbos punishment is what? Skila. Whether or not he does it b'faresu or even if he does it b'tzina. That's the severity of Chil Shabbos. So even if I, in the case of Mekoshesh, would strip the Chil Shabbos of its extra additional dimension of Kofer Beikar, still HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructs Moshe Rabbeinu, put him to death by Skila. Who can come up with such a svara except for Rav Chaim Shmulevitz?
But does it mean that the HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying that any if you overrun any of
any Chil Shabbos, even if it's a Chil Shabbos,
it's Cain Kofer Beikar.
No. Again, Kofer Beikar is only Befar Hesya. And in the case of Slavchad, in the case of Mekoshesh Eitzim, even though it was Befar Hesya, it was not at all Kfir Beikar. Don't be choshed Slavchad on Kfir Beikar. Chas v'shalom, he was liskavim l'shem shemayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, nevertheless, for that's why I can put him to death by skew. Is that answer really quick? We have proof positive from the parasha of the Mekosh Eitzim that Chil Shabbos itself, in and of itself, even if it's mitzina, is such a severe violation that the Torah upgraded it to the punishment of skila and took it out of the general patpori of chenek. That's the answer of Reb Chaim Shmulevitz. But here, Rabosai, I want to ask the following question. Do we really have in halacha the following proviso? Punish a person unless we know what's going on in his mind. Let me explain. We're going to put the Mekoshesh Eitzim to death. So the Marsha is very famous. I think we mentioned it in the past. The Marsha asks, it's a Moloch Shen Tzricha L'Gufa. A person, we pass like Rav Shimon, a person is Chofer Guma, he doesn't need the Guma, he only needs the offer. Is he Chayav Misa according to Rav Shimon or not? Not Chayav Misa. Moloch Shen Tzricha L'Gufa. Does the Mekoshesh Eitzim need the Eitzim? He doesn't need the Eitzim. He's just using the Eitzim for the purpose of publicizing that the mitzvah still apply and that he's going to be put to death. So the Marsha asks, okay, we're going to get to that answer. That's the Marsha's answer. So the Marsha asks the question, so if that be the case, how can we put the Mekoshesh Eitzim to death? It's a Moloch Shen Tzricha L'Gufa. Zokta Marsha, right here in Baba Basra, the Eidim give him a Hasra, and they tell him, if you do the following action and you violate this Hasra, you should know that this is going to be your punishment. Your Chayav Misa. Says the Marsha, they don't have to know what's going on in his mind. They don't have to ask the Mekoshesh Eitzim if he's doing this because he needs the Eitzim, or he's doing it because he needs to be killed publicly for violating the Shabbos. That's totally irrelevant. There's no din that we have to go into the mindset of the person beyond Asra. That's called Dvarim Shebelev Lo Avi Dvarim. Even though, believe, he was motivated by X, Y, and Z, that's wonderful. But he's going to be put to death nevertheless, because he was Mater Atzal Mita. He was Makabal Es Asra. That's what the Marsha says. You can't blame Berzon for this. So if you want to argue, you'll have to call up the Marsha. He's gone for 500 years, so it might be a long-distance phone call, but I'll chip in. But as I state in the Marsha, Marsha says we look at Asra. He was makabel Asra with full cognizance, and at that point we're not going to say, well, maybe he didn't need the guma. He only needed the offer. That's not what's going on over here. He dug a hole. We gave him a warning that if you dig the hole, that's a malacha d'oraisa of Harishan. You can be chayav misa for that. And he dug the hole after he's makabel asra. Well, we're not going to ask the makosha sheitz and give me a whole lumbus as to why you're doing such a thing. What motivates you? That's not in the purview of the law. So therefore, I go back to Reb Chaim Shmulevitz and I ask the following question. Reb Chaim Shmulevitz says that the status of Mekoshesh Eitzim is that of a Machal Shabbos Bitzina. Why? Because a Machal Shabbos Bifar Hesya is guilty of Kfira B'Ikar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that Chas V'Shalom, that Slavkot is not a Kofir B'Ikar, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling Moshe Rabbeinu, says Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, that you should put the Mekoshesh Eitzim to death as if he was a Machal Shabbos Bitzinah, meaning for the very gufa the Avera of Chil Shabbos. But that only makes sense if you assume that the Chiyuv Misa depends upon what's Belibo. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew what was Belibo Shel Mekoshesh, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling Moshe Rabbeinu, you know what, I know that in his heart he was motivated L'Shem Shamayim, and therefore I know that he doesn't fit into the category of Kofar B'Ikar, but we're going to put him to death as Machal Shabbos. That would make sense if Chiyuv Misa, and we're talking about Misa's Bezdin, would be determined by what goes on in a person's heart. But if we're going to go with the Marsha, then what determines Chiyuv Misa? It's the Asra and the Kabbalah's Asra, and I don't care what goes on in his heart. And the Mekoshesh might be a Malach Hashem Tzichel Gufa, but he violated the Asra, and therefore he's going to be put to death. Then he did a Chil Shabbos, this Mekoshesh Bifar Hesya. That's considered an action of Kfira B'Ikar. And if it's an action of Kfir B'Ikar, he deserves skila. But Minayim Eitha Tesi, as Rabbi Kivega with no doubt be yelling and screaming, that even a Machal Shabbos Bitzino would be Chayav skila. How do you know such a thing? The fact that the Mekoshesh was put to death is because he was a Machal Shabbos Bifar Esya. And therefore he gets skila. I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, knows that he's not a Kofar B'Ikar. That's not relevant to Chiyuv Onshe Bezdin. What determines Chiyuv Onshe Bezdin is what we hear and what we know, klapi chutz, but not the dvarim shebelev. And if he violated Asra, we're going to give him the exact punishment that is appropriate for that action that with which he violated Asra. So I'm a little bit confused about Reb Chaim Shmulevitz.
Well, Lo b'shamayim, you're okay.
That's what I'm saying. Lo b'shamayim in this case means dvarim shebelev lavi dvarim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to say, well, we're going to judge him as Machal Shabbos Bitzina because we know what a tzaddik is.
No, that doesn't make any sense.
We have to look at the action itself, and if the action generates a chiyuv misa because it was done before Hesya, when I say a chiyuv misa, I'm sorry, I have to qualify that I mean a chiyuv skila, then that's exactly what we're going to give him. But that doesn't prove anything about a Machal Shabbos Bitzina. And we're back to Rabbi Kivega's Kasha. So Rabbi Kivega says, well, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew because he's the Bochen Klois V'Lev that the Mekoshesh is motivated by L'Shem Shemayim. He's not a Kofar B'Ikar. Therefore, his judgment and his Onesh, Misa's Bezdin, should be that of a Tzina. Correct? That's what Reb Chaim Shmulevitz argues. He's really a tzinner, even though he was a Pharisee. Why? Because God knows what's in his... What do you mean God knows? That's not how we determine the of Misa. I don't understand this
Reb Chaim Shmulevitz. We do this all the time with, I want the dirt and I don't want the hole. So you warned me, you dig that hole, you're going to die. I said, okay, but I don't want the hole.
Oh, that's something different. That's not called Kabbalah Hasra. Kabbalah Hasra means the following. After you told me that action X will generate punishment Y, I'm going to go ahead and say, go fly a kite, I'm not interested.
Yeah.
And Tolkei de Dibur, I do that Maisa that you told me not to do. In such a case, he has no right to come back later and say, according to the Marsha at least, I don't know who argues with the Marsha, he can't come back later on with the Tainus Keturah and say, well, I had no need, I wasn't planning to plant in this hole. He was in violation of Asra and Adkan. Because otherwise, says the Marashah, not only will you undermine the parasha of Mekoshe Sheitzim, but you'll basically virtually undermine the entire parasha of Onshe Bezdin. Because in every case, he's going to come back and he's going to tell you, well, okay, I violated that Asra, but I was motivated by X, Y, and Z. And we don't know whether to trust him or not. The answer is, says the Marashah, trust him. It's irrelevant. He violated that Asra. And that's the way the halacha operates. Every legal system, Avdil, has its mechanical rules, and this is the rule of halacha. You violate the asra, you get the punishment. Again, you have to be makabel asra. I'm not saying no. But Rabosa, I want to ask a different question, and maybe this could answer Rabbi Kivik. I don't know. I want to clear the following chakir. Yesh lachkar. When we say that there's a fundamental difference between Chil Shabbos B'Tzinah and Chil Shabbos B'Farhesya, is it A or B? Is it that the Farhesya changes the nature of the Chil Shabbos? Or is it B, that the Farhesya adds another Machayev? In other words, in Moshe Rabbeinu's thinking, let's say, the Mekoshe Sheitzim was guilty of B'Farhesya, and therefore he has a din of a kofer b'ikar. What are we saying? Are we saying that because he's a kofer b'ikar, therefore he gets misa b'toras chil Shabbos? We change and upgrade the severity of the violation of chil Shabbos. Or are we saying that it's A plus B? Chil Shabbos remains the same. It doesn't change whether it's b'tzin or b'farhesya. But we're adding, you know, we're jumping on the bandwagon and adding to the weight of this the guilt of this crime, that he's also at the same time like an Oved of Avodah Zarah, and therefore he deserves a much more severe punishment. So it seems to me that this is exactly what's going on here in Moshe Rabbeinu's suffix. Moshe Rabbeinu says the following: I want to know what's the din of Mekoshesh Eitzim mitzad the Chiyuv Chil Shabbos. In other words, I'm not willing to say that because he did this Chil Shabbos b'farhesya, therefore I'm going to upgrade him to the level of an Oved Avodah Zarah, because that would mean that you're mixing, you know, potatoes and apples together. You know, min v'sheino mina. You're saying that we're going to piggyback Avodah Zarah, so to speak, on top of Chil Shabbos. So what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu answer to him? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'll read the pasuk. It says, Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, Mos yumas ha'ish, ragomo so ba'avanim. Now wait a second. Moshe Rabbeinu was not oblivious to a pasuk in Parshas Vayakel, Mechaleh Mos Yumos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't have to tell him Mos Yumas Ha'ish. Let's just erase those three words for a moment. Vayom Hashem Moshe Ragomo So Ba'avanim. Meaning, you don't know what misa to give him. I'm telling you to give him Skila. What's the Mos Yumas Ha'ish? This Mos Yumas Ha'ish, I think, is a Gili Milsa on what went on in Sefer Shmos when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says the Mechaleh Mos Yumos. You think Mechaleh Mos Yumos fits into the general rule of Stam Misa B'chenek? No. I'm going to tell you that Mos Yumos fits into a new pattern of Ragomo So Bavanim. But why is he Chayev Skila? Not because of the Avodah Zarah element here. And Moshe Rabbeinu, you were uncomfortable because you didn't understand why a Mechal Shabbos B'Tzinah should be Chayev Chenek, but maybe the Mekoshe should be put to death by Skila because of the Kfir of the Ikar, because the Farhesya is already like an Avodah Zarah. So Moshe Rabbeinu was uncomfortable about that. He wavered back and forth. He said, wait a minute, who are you fooling over here? He was not an Ovid Avodah Zarah. You want to be Machayev for Ovid Avodah Zarah? Okay, give my Asra for Avodah Zarah. You want to tell me he's a Kofer B'Ikar? Give my Asra for Kofer B'Ikar. He wasn't in violation of the Isra of Kofer B'Ikar, or even if he was, but he's not Chayev Misa for that. He's Chayev Misa for Chil Shabbos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you're right. And he adds the words, Mos Yumas Ha'ish. Mos Yumas Ha'ish. This Ish is the Ish who's Mechal Shabbos back in Sefer Shmos, whether it's B'Tzinah or B'Farhesya. and we're going to put him to death by skila because of the chiyuv of Chil Shabbos. Has nothing to do with an additional chiyuv of Kofa Mikar. Yeah, Kofa Mikar might add new dinim, but that has nothing to do with the chiyuv Misa. The chiyuv Misa is because of Chil Shabbos. And basically, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is now affirming Moshe Rabbeinu's Havamina. So, Rabbi Kivega thought that the Havamina of Moshe Rabbeinu is maybe the Mekoshesh Esim should be Chayav because he did it before Hesia, therefore he is a Kofer Be'ikar. Says Rabbi Kivega, would that be the case if HaKadosh Baruch Hu affirmed Moshe Rabbeinu's Havamina, then only a Machal Shabbos for Hesia should be Chayav Skila, a Machal Shabbos Bitsina should only be Chayav what? Chenek. No! We're going to argue with Rabbi Kivega, only to defend the Gemara, right? And we're going to say the following, that Moshe Rabbeinu understood very well that there's an additional dimension of Kofer Be'ikar here. But Moshe Rabbeinu never thought that the Kofer Be'ikar should change an impact on the nation of the Chiyuv Misa, because Kofer Be'ikar is a separate Avera. It's an independent Avera. Again, it overlaps here in this case, because through the Chil Shabbos, he became a Kofer Le'ikar. But Moshe Rabbeinu was thinking, okay, maybe, you know what, maybe the Kofer Be'ikar is inherent in the Chil Shabbos. And B'toris Machal Shabbos, he's going to be Chayav Skila. But Moshe Rabbeinu was not happy with that, because why should you take the Farhesia element of Kofer Be'ikar and be Malbish it onto Chil Shabbos? The reason why we're putting him to death in his violation of Asra was for Chil Shabbos, Al Techalas HaShabbos. So you could say Moshe Rabbeinu thought in his Havamina, but you know what? This is a new upgrade of Chil Shabbos. Maybe within the context of Chil Shabbos and that Avera, you have different Madregas. You have Madrega, we'll call it A, of Stam Chil Shabbos. And then on top of that, you have a Chil Shabbos that's even more severe. It's on a different Darga. It was done before Hesia. It incurs an element of Kofar Be'ikar. And therefore, for this Chil Shabbos, instead of giving him Chenek, let's give him Skila. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says no. He says, "Mos Yumas Ha'ish." We're going back to the parsha of Chil Shabbos. We're not talking about the Farhesi over here. We're saying that Mos Yumas Ha'ish, for what violation is he chayav? For Chil Shabbos. And Chil Shabbos is the same identical Chil Shabbos, whether it's Bitzin or the Farhesia. Uregobu Osobavon and he's chayav skila, because Chil Shabbos is an upgraded Avera. And even in the case of Tzina, he's going to be chayiv. So Rabbi Kivega comes along and he says, no, maybe he's only chayiv in this case, Skila, because he did it before Hesia. No! HaKadosh Baruch Hu is machriyas hakaf to clarify to Moshe Rabbeinu that all the dinim and the severity that's added by the fact that it was before Hesia are relevant to many different things, but not relevant to the Chiyuv Misa. The Chiyuv Misa is determined by one and only one thing. What was his violation of Shabbos? And in that context, his violation of Shabbos doesn't change one iota, whether it was before Hesia or Bitzin. It's the same Chil Shabbos. We say that Machal Shabbos before Hesia is this, that, and the other thing. He's like an Ovid of Avodah Zarah, he's a Mumel called Tarkula. That's because of the additional guilt for a different category. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is adding three words here to tell Moshe Rabbeinu that if you're asking what is the Misa for Chil Shabbos, because you, Moshe Rabbeinu, are uncomfortable to change and upgrade it based on an overlap, a piggyback of another Avera, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you're right. I agree with you 100%. There's no way that we can change the Mises Bezdin in Chil Shabbos based on Kofer Be'ikar. Kofer Be'ikar is a different Avera. But as far as Chil Shabbos is concerned, is Mos Yomus, he's Chayav Misa for the Chil Shabbos itself, regardless of whether it was implemented Brishus HaRabim or Brishus HaYimach. Okay, Rabbi Osai, let's put this on the side. And if you take a look at the Mar Makomos page, you'll see that, what time is it now? I'm just trying to time myself.
1 o'clock.
Oh, it's almost 1 o'clock?
It's almost 1 o'clock.
Okay. So we have about 15 minutes. Okay. I gave you another page today, which is called page 2. And the reason why I give you this page 2 is because of two Piskei Halacha, Piskei Dinim in Yoredeya, in the Shulchan Aruch that really bother my mind. The Shulchan Aruch says in Simon Kuf Chav that a Machal Shabbos before Hesya, you're not allowed to drink from his wine because he has the din of an Akum. And in Simon Kuf and in Simon Beis, he says that a Machal Shabbos for Hesya, you can't eat from his Shechita. Now look, I'm not bothered by the fact that we live in a world today, unfortunately, and I say with the Krechts, where so many Jews are Machal Shabbos, and we can't eat from the Shechita. I'm confident that we'll find enough Shochtim amongst the religious Jews. But when you tell me you can't drink from his wine, I get a little bit uncomfortable. And I'll tell you why. Because on the same Siman in Shulchan Aruch, about Yayin Nesach, where he says, Machal Shabbos for Hesi, you can't drink his wine, the poskim say that you can't count him for a minyan as well. That once he has a din of an akum, because he publicly desecrates the Shabbos, he's out. Forget about Birchas Kohen. He's even out if he's the 10th man in a minyan. Now, Rabosai, everybody here in this room comes from a different background, a different hometown, and then seeing different things in his communities. But I can tell you about myself that if I were to take this halacha and apply it today, or shall I turn back the clock to my father's time when he became the Rav of a congregation called Avos Yisrael back in Brooklyn, New York, we're in deep trouble. Because not only will I tell you, and I say this with tears in my eyes, that the 10th man in the minyan was Machal Shabbos before Hesya. I would probably tell you that 9 out of the 10 people in the minyan were Machal Shabbos before Hesya. Now I may be going very far out, because there's a famous tshuva of Rabbi Tzvi Pesach Frank, and Rabbi Avad Yosef agrees that if this person would not violate the Shabbos in the presence of a Rav, then that's not considered Machal Shabbos before Hesya. And I will tell you that the people who came to daven in our shul back in my childhood would not be Machal Shabbos in front of my father. You'll ask me Akasha, Mr. So-and-so, and I love him so much he's gone already, but he used to walk us to shul every Shabbos, Friday night and Shabbos, with a big red handkerchief. You know, you remember the old handkerchiefs in the lapel? You know, they went like this. And that's Chil Shabbos before Hesya. We didn't have an Erev at that time. The answer is he doesn't know anything about Chil Shabbos. And that leads me to the following question. Do I have a right to assume? So again, I just want to get back to one point. This Mr. So-and-so, who I just even thinking of him, I get emotional, because he was the president of the shul, and he would jump off the roof for my father. I mean, anything for my father. I spoke at his funeral because my father was gone before he died. He would never be Machal Shabbos knowing deliberately, like driving a car in front of my father. That he wouldn't do. But is it possible that Machal Shabbos today would not fit in the category as they would back in the Beis Yosef's time 5 centuries ago, of a mumar, and you can't count them from me? Take a look at the Chazon Ish. Everybody thinks the Chazon Ish is a gevaldige machmir. Well, my thesis is that that's not true. Sometimes he's machmir, but not always. He says the following: when did these Machal Shabbos have a din of a rasha? Bizman shashkechasa yizbar gluya. He says there are two periods in Jewish history. There's a time in which the Jewish people understand and they see in front of their eyes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with them. Then there's another period in Jewish history. It's a period of Helem, and it goes on from one generation to the other, where God is like, it's like hide and seek. And at that point, the Emunah, the very foundation of the faith of Israel, has been shooken up. And he says, therefore, Ein b'maisa ha'orada geder afrotza. He's not trying to be poreitz geder. He's only adding a piritza on a piritza. The piritza was already there before. And therefore, ein hayom noeg this halacha, that we're going to fix up this guy by telling him, you know what? You're not part of that minyan. That doesn't apply. That's not going to be a tikkun. But rather, aleinu lachziram bavosos av. The approach that we should have, says the Chazon Ish, is to love them and bring them in. But Rabosai, I have a chiddush for you. Because 100 years before the Chazon Ish, in about the year 1820, which is more than a century before the Chazon Ish, there was a Jew by the name of the Orach Laner. His name was Ettlinger. Correct? What was his first name?
Yaakov
Ettlinger. And he writes in his Tshuvas Binyan Sion, Poshe Yisrael Bismanenu. Again, we're going back 100 and some odd years ago. He was the Rebbe of Rav Shimon Shol Hirsch. Lo yadana mai odun. I don't know how to judge them. Acher shebavon oseinu arabim poshta. This is a lashon in Mitzora. Habaheres lerov. Asher ruvam chilul Shabbos naset slom keheter. Im lo yesh lam din omer muter. Why not say that they're so far removed from being brought up in a religious environment and being taught about the Torah, they think everything they're doing is okay. To say that they have a din of a Machal Shabbos Farhes, you need a mazin for that, not a shogeg. And one of the classical cases of a shogeg is Omer Mutter, someone who thinks it's okay. He says, Yesh b'hem shemispalim tefillah Shabbos u'mekadshim kiddush hayom. Imagine, they come to shul on Shabbos. They stay for Kiddush. The Acharkach, where do they go? They go to their work. Mechalim Shabbos v'molachas doraisu d'rabbana. V'harein, you'll argue, Mechal Shabbos nechshav kimumar mipnei shakofer b'Shabbos kikofer b'briyas olam. V'zeh, but look at this guy. Mode, he comes into shul to daven, and he certainly acknowledges the existence of God. Al yidei tefillah of a kiddush. He goes on to say that in addition to that, there are those amongst this group of people in the Chali Shabbos, Asher lo yadu v'lashon divinei Shabbos. They really never heard and they never knew about the laws of Shabbos. V'domim mamish litztukim. The Gemara says about the tztukim that they were excluded, but their children and their grandchildren were brought up on the belief of the tztukim, ain't on that shoven kimumer. Even though the Machal Shabbos, even though certain things the tztukim never accepted about Shabbos, and therefore the children, the grandchildren of the tztukim are Machal Shabbos, but nevertheless they don't have the status of mumerim. They're just following suit, you know, following in line with what they were taught by their forefathers. And they really are brainwashed in a sense. They've been programmed in that way. The Hem Ketinok Shenishba Ben Ovdei Kocha. If you ask me, Rabosa, between the two paragraphs that I printed for you, which one speaks to my heart even more, because I think it's so much more eloquent and so much more specific, it's the Binyan Tzion, the Orach Laner. Again, I don't think the Chazon Ish was aware of this tshuva, because the Binyan Tzion that he had in front of him, which I have, because I have the first printing of the Binyan Tzion from Poznan, doesn't have this tshuva in it. But today they have the Machon Yerushalayim that published the Binyan Tzion HaChadoshos with a whole bunch of additional tshuvas from Rav Yaakov Ettlinger. And this is the one that's here. And therefore, I would submit to you, Rav Osai, that when we discuss L'halach L'maisa, the question of Machal Shabbos B'Farhesya, and whether he has a din of a mumar, and we could exclude him from not only shechita and yayin, but exclude him from the minyan, from tefillah, from so forth. I think we should take that seriously, that we should approach this question with a great deal of COVID rush. And there are circles in which they would completely exclude such a person. But yesh al milisvach. Now I wanted to make one last point. We discussed before the overlap of Chil Shabbos with Kfira, with Avodah Zarah, with Kofir Be'ikar, in the case of B'Farhesya. And if you recall, we said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would not judge, according to Rabbi Kiveger, the Mekoshesh Eitzim under the category of Kofer Be'ikar, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew that the Mekoshesh Eitzim in his heart was this Kavi L'Shem Shammai. I want to throw out a possible svara here, but you'll have to bear with me because I need a minute to formulate it precisely. The Marsha, as we said before, says that when we judge a person for Misas Bezdin, we don't enter into his heart of hearts. We have to know Dvarim Sheba Maisa, Dvarim Sheba Olam Amase. There was Asra, he was Makabal Asra, Dvarim Sheba Lev Lo Evi Dvar. Is it possible, here's a svar I want to throw out to you, that Machal Shabbos Befar Hes Yashayim, that even though the universal rule, as the Marsha formulates it, is that Dvarim Sheba Lev Lo Evi Dvar, and he violated the Asra, but in this case, we're going to consider his Dvarim Shebelev. They become critical. This is the exception to the rule. And why? Because with regard to Avodah Zarah, there's a different set of rules and regulations. The universal principle of Dvarim Shebelev Lo Evi Dvar does not apply to Avodah Zarah. The Gemara has a whole sugya about avoda mi'ava mi'ira, that there are cases where a person in his heart was not interested in worshipping Avodah Zarah. Kapi chutz, on the outside, he worshipped Avodah Zarah. And he's potter. Why? Because inside he didn't accept his deity. But Tvar Shemalev Lo Avi Tvar. And the answer, I believe, is that Avodah Zarah is different than every other Avera. In every other Avera, we start with the Maisa, and then we ask, what did he have in his heart? In Avodah Zarah, we go the other way around. Zeh Eli, if he says Chas Shalom about a Pesel, right? Everything starts with his acceptance of the Avodah Zarah. The Maisa itself is only an objectification of his subjective will. And therefore, his Ratzon Shebelev is going to determine whether he's Chayav or not. So you can't say Dvarim Shebelev Lo Havi Dvarim. Poo-poo. What did you think about? Why did you do it? Yeah, you bowed down to Nebuchadnezzar. The Jewish people bowed down to Nebuchadnezzar because of Yira. So they're going to claim that they're potter. So we're going to say that, what do you mean you're potter? You did it on the outside. Everybody looked at you and saw that you were willing to bow down to the idol. Is Dvarim Shebelev Lo Havi Dvarim? No. We will say Dvarim Shebelev Havi Dvarim. The Jews are guilty. And according to one day in the Gemara Megillah, that's why we had the Gzeir of Haman. Because back in the time of Nebuchadnezzar, which was not long before the story of Purim, the Jews bowed down to idols, to his idol. It was a very big, large idol. And they bowed down. Why did they do it? Because of Yira. But nevertheless, Yehar Val Yav. Because the Yehar Val Yav is determined by Chil Hashem, what people on the outside think. But in terms of the Maisa Avera, if there was no one watching, then Enoch Inami, over the Yira is potter. And why? What about Dvarim Shebelev? The answer is Avodah Zarah is different. It's the Lev that determines the Maisa. The Maisa is, and its personality, its character, is determined by the Lev, not the other way around. So what I'm suggesting, according to Rabbi Kivega's logic, is that what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying to Moshe Rabbeinu is that your svar is correct, Moshe Rabbeinu. This guy, he is the Mekoshe Sheitzim Befar Hesya, he gets skill, correct? But says Rav Chaim Shulevitz, we can't give him skila, b'toras, kofar b'ikar, because kofar b'ikar is an avodah zarah. And when it comes to avodah zarah, dvarim shalev havi dvarim. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that in his lev is l'shem shavayim this coming. So if HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chol zot afal pichay paskin and the Megosh Sheishim is chayav misa skila, it's because for Chil Shabbos he's chayav misa skila. Not for the additional dimension and element of avodah zarah, because here dvarim shalev havi dvarim. Okay, Rav Osai, we'll stop.
A young can ever put anybody to death for a Avodah Zarah. Because maybe
the burden of proof is on the Oved to establish, based on clear-cut evidence, that he was Oved in the Yira.
But it's a suffering. It always remains a suffering.
But if there are two Edim and there's no Yira, there's no enforcing him, then Epinami, he can't come along and say, I did it in the Yira. Where's the Yira? Who's watching you? But if you do it because of the pain of death, then we have a good, solid argument to say, Dvarim Shemalei Vavi Dvarim.